Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Tzadi Gimel. We continue to learn for the safety and the success of the Chayalim. They should bring back the Chatufim. They should not suffer any more injuries. All those Chayalim that are suffering Nebuch, they should have a Refuah Shleima. The Chatufim should be brought back in good health immediately, and there should be peace on all of Klal Yisrael. We pick up the Gemara on Tzadi Gimel Lamed Aleph, five lines from the top, with the words, Omar Rav Chanan. Rav Chanan tells us the following din. Hamoser din al chaveiro. If a person goes and complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that somebody has wronged them, instead of taking him to a Beis Din, and he just asks Hashem, you take care of the problem. Hu nenash tchila. He will be held accountable first. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Rashi brings down elsewhere, will say that this person, let's see if he really is worth it. Rashi in Rosh Hashanah tells us, Klum roi hu shianesh chaveiro ayodo. Who is this guy that he's saying that so-and-so should be punished by a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Let's first check him out, and nobody can really withstand the spotlight, the microscope of a Kodesh Baruch Hu on you, and therefore this person will be punished first. Hu nenash tchila. And where do we see this from? So Rav Chanan tells us, Shenemar, Vatomer Sarai el Avrom chamasi olecha. Sarai, before she's called Sarah, she was Sarai, and she calls Avram her husband. Before he was called Avram, he was Avram. So she tells Avram, Atomer Sarai el Avram, Chamosi Olecha, I'm very upset with you that you didn't go and take my side against Hagar. And she says, Yishpot Hashem beini uveinecha. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should adjudicate between you and me who's right. And that's not a good thing, as Rav Chanan tells us, because she's basically saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you decide who's right, Avram or me. And even though Sarah was unbelievably great, Avram is told, Shema B'kola, she was in some ways a greater Nevi'ah than Avram was. Hashem is told, Avram, go and listen to Sarai all the time, listen to Sarah. So, Uksiv, nevertheless, Vayavo Avraham, Lispod L'Sarah, V'liv Kosa, that Sarah died prematurely. She died at a younger age than she was supposed to, and Avram Avinu had to go and be mispaid her. He had to go give her eulogies and to bury her. So she was held accountable in some way on the great level of Sari Menu. She was Moser Din Al Chaveru. She said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you judge between Avram and me, who is right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, nobody can withstand that type of spotlight from Shemayim, and therefore she was punished first. Now, this is only true to Gemara, says, V'hani mili, the islay dino bi'ara. That's when there's a Beis Din that you could go and take her to. As Tosos says in the top Tosos, Uvimei Soro, haya Beis Din shoshayim kayam. She should have taken Avram to a Beis Din, and she should have said, listen, why did you not take my side? Why did you seem to side with Hagar? And therefore, she had a chance to go take him to a Beis Din. A person is allowed to go and stand up for their rights. We're not saying over here that a person can't stand up for their rights. However, if you, so to say, bypass the normal route of going to a Beis Din, and you say to Hashem, you, Joe, judge whether I'm right or that other person is right, so then it's not a good thing to do. And therefore, hu nenash tchila. And therefore, she was punished first. Furthermore, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Oy lo litzoek yoser min hanitzok. Woe is to the person that cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than the person that they're crying out about. And we have a brisa that supports the same thing. Tani nami hochi. The brisa says, Echad atzoek ve'echad anitzok b'mashma, that both the person who's crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hey, look what that guy did, as well as that guy who did the terrible thing, both of them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be happy. As the pasuk mishpatim says, V'chara'api v'harakti eschem b'chorev. I will kill both of you. However, Ella, the Rav Yitzchak tells us from the Braisa, El Shemarin Litzoik Yosem in Hanitzak. But the one who called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hey, take care of the other person, he will be punished first, as we just had pointed out, Hu Nenash Tchila. Now, we had a member of Rav Yitzchak, we have another member of Rav Yitzchak. Remember Rav Yitzchak, he said another thing, La'olam alte kilas hedyot kalabe necha. Don't ever take the curse of even a plain person, just like we have the ruling, alte birchas hedyot kalabe necha. Don't take a bracha that somebody gives you. I was told by Rav Rebbein, that's why it's so important. When people wish you good Shabbos, you should say back to them, oh, good Shabbos to you, because they just gave you a bracha, you should have a good Shabbos. So even a birchas hedyot, even a regular person says to you, good Shabbos, or good Yom Tov. He says, everything should be good for you. So you should take that very seriously. You should answer amen. It's a famous story about someone who went to a shir from the Chofetz Chaim, and he was told, the Chofetz Chaim said, oh, wonderful, you should come. You should have Arichas Shomim Shomim. The guy jumped and said amen. The other people around him didn't jump and say amen. And this person outlived all of those other people. So it's a tremendous thing when you get a bracha from a gadol, but even a person who is a regular person gives you a bracha, alte birchas hejor kalbeinecha. So to the converse, Rav Yitzchak says, don't take the curse of an ordinary person as being inconsequential. Ah, that guy's a nothing. nothing. What's his curse mean? Why is that? Shahari Avimelech killed Sara. Wicked Avimelech, he cursed Sara. In what way? That when she was held by him captive, and then he had to return her, so he gave her money, he went to appease Avram, he went to appease her, but he cursed her children. He cursed Yitzchak, as we'll see, v'niskayim bizara. So Avimelech killed Sara, v'niskayim bizara. How was that? Shenemar. He gave her all these gifts. He gave her a lot of money. He gave a lot of gifts and presents and money to Avram Avinu. And he said, this will be for you, a ksus einayim, will cover up your eyes. And what Avimelech was telling was as follows, Amalah, ho el v'chisis mimeni, since you covered up for me the fact that you're really Avram's wife, v'lo gilis shehu ishech, and you didn't say that he was your husband, you said that you're his sister, and that caused me to go and take you into captivity, v'garamd elai atzar hazeh, and it caused me to therefore be punished with all the punishment discussing yesterday's year, that all the men were unable to give their zera, and possibly not able to urinate, not able to defecate. The women had all of those things as well, and in addition, weren't able to give birth. You caused such trouble to my people. So yihiratzon shu lucha b'nei kisuyenayim. So it's my wish to you, in other words, my curse to you, that you will have the same thing happen in your children, just like you didn't reveal the truth to me, so your children won't see the truth as well. Kisuye enayim, there will be kisuye enayim, and that's exactly what happened to Yitzchak. In his skyim bizarro d'chsev, and this was fulfilled in Yitzchak, where it says, "Vahiki zokin Yitzchak, vatechena einav meros." When Yitzchak got older, he wasn't able to see, and of course, he therefore thought that Esav was the good son, and he wanted to give the brachos to Esav. And Nebuch, that caused the whole domino effect that we ended up being in Mitzrayim, and we ended up being in Galus, and we have forever Esav sonei es Yaakov, halocha Esav sonei es Yaakov. So this was a covering up of his eyes that was the curse from Avimelech to Sara. One way to understand this Gemara, a simple way, and we'll go weiter. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Yavo, Rivo says, la'olam yei odom min hardin dofin, v'lo min harofim. It's much better to be the one who is being run after by everybody else, to be the one that is being pursued, rather than to be the one that is running after the other people, the one who is pursuing the other people. Much better to be the nirdof, the one who's being run after, rather below min harofin, not from the people that are running after the nirdof. Why? She'en lecha nirdof ba'ofos yoser mitorim uvnei yona. Amongst all the birds, the easiest one that is to prey, everybody's always attacking the pigeons, the tor and the ben yona. These are easily captured birds by the other birds, they attack them, so they're the near dolphin. And nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, they're the only birds that are kosher for the Mizbeach. V'chshir and HaKosu l'gabi Mizbeach. Only the Torah and the Ben Yonah, these two species of doves, are able to go and be brought as a carbon ophos on the Mizbeach. So therefore, Rabbi Yavo is telling us, it's much better to be the ones that are near dolphin, rather than the ones that are the roadfin. Now, doesn't mean that you should just let the roadfin come and take you. So you're obviously allowed to fight back. However, it's much better to be from those people that aren't attacking other people. Even if you're the one that's being attacked, you can fight back, but don't go and attack other people for no reason whatsoever. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Omer Sameis Eini Bechule. If a person says to his fellow man, go and blind me, or go and cut off my arm, or go and break my leg, we had all those cases. So we said, even if he says, and I won't hold you accountable, so then he is held accountable. He'll have to pay for the damages. As opposed to, however, we said, if the person says, go and destroy my property, go and rip my shirt, go and break my utensil, so then, if he says, and you won't be held accountable, then you're not held accountable. And I pointed out then in the Mishnah, here's where we have the question of the Gemara, why is there a difference between the Reish and the Seifa? Why, when a person says, and you won't be held accountable in terms of personal injury, he is held accountable. But if he says, you won't be held accountable in terms of breaking my property, so then, the guy that broke the property, the destroyed, will in fact not be held accountable. So that's what the Gemara now asks. Amalei Rav Asi Bar Chama. Now the Gersa we have is L'Rabba, but it really should be L'Rabba. So Amalei Rav Asi Bar Chama L'Rabba. Maishno Reisha, Maishno Seifa. Why in terms of personal injury, even if the person who is being injured says, I won't hold you accountable, the one who injures him is held accountable. Whereas in terms of the garment, let's say, the person says, go and rip my garment, and I won't hold you accountable, so then the one who rips the garment is not held accountable. Why is there this difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? So Gemara is going to give ultimately three answers. But we start off with the first answer as follows. Amalei, so Rabba responds back to Rav Asi Bar Chama, and he says, Reisha, the reason why in the Reisha, Yochayiv, no matter what, even if you say, I'm not going to hold you accountable for the personal injury, for breaking my hand, for cutting off my hand, breaking my leg, or blinding me is because racial fish ain't on the mochel or rosh evarim. Because a normal person wouldn't ever allow something like that to happen. No normal person would say to somebody else, sure, blind me, sure, cut off my hand, sure, break my leg. And even if he says in that situation, I won't hold you accountable, he doesn't really mean it. As opposed to a garment, yeah, a person could actually say, yeah, I don't mind if you rip my garment. So that's the simple teretz that Rabbah says to Ravasi Barchama. Gemara doesn't like this. Ravasi Barchama says back to him, Amalei, v'chi odam mochal tzara, but wait a second, we have another brisa where almost a similar situation happens. Here we're talking about, in our Mishnah, there was actual damage done, such as blinding him, cutting off his hand, or breaking his leg, whereas in the brisa, it's just talking about pain, albeit it's not a permanent injury. But the brisa says for pain, we will not make him responsible if the person says, I won't hold you responsible for hurting me. So why should be a difference between hurting, which we do allow the person to get off from his responsibility, and for an injury like an eye, taking out my eye, or cutting off the arm, or breaking the leg, where we say, no, he still has to pay. And that's the problem the Ravasi Barchama says back to Rabbah. Why should there be such a distinction? Yet there clearly is. So I'm alay. V'chiyah the mochal tzaro, is a person really allowing other people to give him pain? And yet, in the Braisa, the Tanya, it says clearly in the Braisa, if a man says to another man, Hakeni or Pitzaini, go and hit me, or go and wound me, but I'll minas liftor, but you won't have to go and pay me, so then potter. In fact, he is potter. So in that situation, with this personal injury, albeit not permanent injury, like blinding, or cutting off the hand, or breaking the leg, so why should there be such a distinction? In the Braisa that we just brought down, now it's potter, in the Mishnah, it's chayiv. So therefore, Ravasi Barchama doesn't like Rabbah's teretz, and Rabbah's ishtik. He doesn't have an answer for this. And he asks, Amar midi shmir loch b'ha. No, do you have an answer then? Why is there a difference between the Reish and the Sefer? Now, we are going to come back to Rabbah's answer and say, no, it's a valid answer. We'll see in a moment that, yeah, there is a distinction between a permanent injury, like blinding somebody, cutting off the hand, or breaking the leg, and causing them pain. Hakeni or pitzaini, which a person might agree to let somebody do that. Whereas nobody would let them do a permanent injury to them. So we'll come back to this answer and resuscitate it. But right now, Rabbah accepts Rav Asi Bar Chama's criticism, and he asks him, "Nu, what's your teretz? Why is there a difference between the Reish and the Sefer?" And Rav Asi Bar Chama says, "Amalei, Hachim Rosheshes. This is what I heard in the name of Rosheshes. Mishum Pagam Mishpacha. You know why a person cannot go and say, you don't have to pay me if you blind me, or you cut off my hand, or you break my leg? Because everybody from that family is now impacted. Hey, we have a blind relative. We have a person, a relative, who is missing a hand or missing a leg. So that's a pagam mishpacha. That's a negative on the mishpacha. So a person doesn't have the right to cause his mishpacha to be suffering. And that's why when the person says, even though I will not hold you liable, the Mishnah says that he'll be held liable. And therefore, it's because of this pagam mishpacha. As opposed to, with the breaking of the garment, or the breaking of the jug, or the breaking of some utensil, there is no pagam mishpacha. And that's the difference, according to Rav Asi Bar Chama, between the Reisha and the Seifa of our Mishnah. And in fact, we will see that there are three terutzim, one of which we already gave, which Rabbah gave, that Rav Asi Bar Chama rejected, but now we'll resuscitate it. Then we'll have this teretz of Rav Asi Bar Chama, that he says the name of Rav Sheshes of Pagam Mishpach, and then we'll have a third teretz. So Itmar, we learn in the Beis Medrash the following, Rav Oshaya Amar Mishum Pagam Mishpacha. Rav Oshaya says, just like Rav Asi Bar Chama, that the reason is because of Pagam Mishpacha, that you don't have no right to go and say, you can go and blind the person, or cut off their arm, or break their leg, because of the Pagam Mishpacha. So therefore, that's the same teretz that Rav Asi Bar Chama gave. That's teretz number one. Rava Amar, Rava tells us, Mishum She'ada Ein Ada Mochel Arosh Eiv Armshlo. Oh, this is why we changed around the gears before from Rava to Rabba, because Rabba seemed to accept Rav Asi Bar Chama's rejection of his teretz, whereas Rava does not. Rava says, no, there is a difference. A person never really means, it's okay to blind me, cut off my hand, break my leg, and you don't have to pay. No, that nobody would ever say. But a person might say, Hakeni Pitzaini, and really mean it, and therefore you'd be potter. So Rava resuscitates the answer that Rabbah gave before. Mishum she'ein ad mochel arosh eiv armshlo. As opposed to pain, he might be willing to be boichel, but not a permanent injury. So that's the teretz that before we gave from Rabbah that Rav Asi Bar Chama rejected, Rava resuscitates that answer. That's teretz number two. And now we introduce a third teretz, Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan Amar, it depends. Yesh hein shu lav kilav, yesh lav shu kehein. when we were having this conversation, we didn't really spell it out clearly. When the person says, it's okay if you go and blind me, it's okay if you go and cut off my hand or break my leg, and as opposed to in the Sefer, we said, go and rip my garment or break my container, my jug. So when he added that there won't be a liability, you have to take it as a rhetorical question. In other words, in the case of the Reish of the Mishnah, the person said, you can cut off my eye or my arm or my leg and I won't hold you liable. That's not really what happened. He said, you can cut off my eye, my arm, or my leg. And the guy said, can I do that without having to pay you? And the guy said, yes. But it's a hain that really means no. He said, yes? And you won't have to pay? So he said, yes. But he meant, of course I'll have to pay if you do it. So it's a hain that really means lav. Hain, shu, kilav. And vice versa, in the Sefer, when he said, go cut my garment or go break my jug. So the other person said, and I won't have to pay? And he said, yes, you won't have to pay. And he meant it. So therefore, it all depends on how he said it. Sometimes a yes can mean a no, and sometimes a yes can mean a yes. And sometimes a no can mean a yes, and sometimes a no can mean a no. And we have the Braisa that supports this. Tanna Mihochi. The Braisa says exactly Rav Yochanan. Braisa says, Hikani Pitzani, if Reuven says to Shimon, go and hit me or go and wound me, and then Al Minas Liftar, and the person who Reuven is telling, Shimon, go and hit me, go and hurt me, so he says, will I be liable to pay you, Al Minas Liftar, or will I not be liable to pay you? The Amalohe, and Reuven says, yes. Now, what does he mean when he says yes? Hare Yesh Hain Shukilab. He says, no, of course you're going to have to pay me. I don't, yes, you won't have to pay me? Of course you have to pay me. So here, this is a yes that really means no. But if he says, kara es sus kisusi, rip my garment, and the Reuven says that to Shimon, and Shimon says, amanas liftar, will I have to pay you? So when he answers, I'm a low lab, and he says, no, you won't have to pay me, so he means it in a way that, no, you won't have to pay me. Hare lab shu kehen. And therefore it means, yes, you won't have to pay me. So therefore, it all depends on the way that you say it, and therefore, that's the difference, according to Rav Yochanan, based upon this Braisa as well, the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer. It depends on the intonation and the context of his response. And it wasn't just as simple that the person who said, go and do the damage, also said, and you won't have to pay me. Okay, those are the three terutzim, and now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Shaberes Kadi Kirask Susi Chayev. In the Sefer of the Mishnah, it said, Reuven said to Shimon, go and break my jug or rip my garment, so in this situation, you're obligated to pay. Gemara questions and says, wait a second, Rumini, but it says, now, the Torah Or that we have over here quotes this as being Perek Chav Beis in Mishpatim, Pasuk Tes, Ki Yitain Isha Re'eyu, Chamar Oshor Oseh, V'chol Behemo Lishmor. So this is a person giving over something to his fellow man to go and watch for him. So the Lishmor means I'm making you a Shomer. Doesn't say what type of shomer, but let's assume it's just a shomer chinam, no difference. So he makes him into a shomer to go and watch the item for him. I don't know why, but the art scroll seems to quote a different pasuk. It quotes pasuk perichah beis, pasuk vav. Not sure where they get that from. The Torah Or quotes pasuk beis, pasuk tes, so we'll continue learning it like that. In any event, so the Braisa tells us, if you're giving it over to somebody as a shomer, lishmor, kitein isha riyehu chamor roshor oseh, v'chol beimo lishmor, so then it means that you're only watching it, v'lo l'abe, but you have no right to go and destroy it. Lishmor means you're giving it over to watch it, v'lo l'kroa, and not to rip it. Lishmor, I'm giving it over to watch it, v'lo l'chalek l'aniyim, and not to give it out to poor people. Now, only if he's giving it over for shmira purposes is he not allowed to go and break it or rip it or give it out to poor people. The implication is that if you gave it to somebody, not for shmira purposes, but if you gave it to somebody such as Shaberes Kadi, Kra'es Susi, from the Bryce, it seems to imply that you would be potter. But our Mishnah said you're chayiv. So here's the kasha. The Braisa seems to suggest that unless you're giving it over for shmir purposes, if you tell somebody, Shaberes Kadi, Karas Susi, even if you don't say and you won't be liable, you're not liable. So it's a kasha on our Mishnah. So how do we reconcile this? I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Lo kasha. The Mishnah and the Braisa aren't a kasha because it depends. Ha, de'ase li day, What we're dealing with on Mishnah, it came into the Shomer's hands before he was told to tear it. So therefore, he became a Shomer, and the Shomer is not allowed to tear it. And therefore, if he tears it, Shabir es kadi, kares ksusi, he's going to be chayev. Whereas the Braisa is talking about hodulo asili day. It didn't come into his hands. He was told, you can go break it, and only then it came into his hands. So therefore, the status of being a Shomer doesn't apply to him, and therefore he's going to be potter. So Rav Huna says, we're talking about different cases. In one case, he was told to break it before he became a Shomer, and the other case, he was told to break it only after he was a Shomer, and therefore that explains the difference in the Mishnah that you're going to be Chayiv, and the Braisa you're going to be potter. Now, Amalei Rabba tells Rav Huna, I don't get it. The Pasuk says, Lishmar, implying the Asi Lidei Mashma, that it came into his hand after he was a Shomer. You can't therefore reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa by saying one is before he became a Shomer, one is after he became a Shomer. So therefore, Rabba says that's not the answer. Rav Huna, you're wrong. El Omar Rabba, Rabba explains, Ha v'ha, the Asi Lidei. Both of them, it came into his hands as a Shomer. However, there's no kasha between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Ha, the Asi Lidei, the Torah Shmira. One, in our Mishnah, it came into his hands as a Shomer. And therefore, he's going to be held liable if he goes and breaks it, he tears it. As opposed to in the Braisa, even though it came into his hands as a Shomer, Hod the Asili Day Bitoris Kriya, but he had been given permission originally to go and tear it. So therefore, that trumps, so to say, the fact that he is a Shomer. So that's how Rabba reconciles the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Gemara concludes with the Maisa Shahaya. How Arnika, there once was a purse, the Tztaka, that belonged to the Tztaka, the Asila Pumbedisa, and this money in the Pushka, in the Tztaka purse, came to Pumbedisa. Now, Afkidei Rav Yosef Gabi Haugabra. Rav Yosef, who was in charge, he was the Gabi Tztok in Pumbedisa, so he gave it over to a certain person to go and distribute it to charity. So he gave it to this person, but this person, Poshabe, he wasn't careful with it, and Asu Ganve and Ganbua. So Ganovim came, and they stole the Arnike of Tztoka. Now, Chayve Rav Yosef made him pay. Now, the question is, Amalei Abaye said to Rav Yosef, but wait a second, we just learned Vatanya, if you're giving it over Lishmar, V'lo L'chalek L'aniyim, so he was giving it over as Shmira purposes, and not to give to the Aniyim, and therefore he shouldn't be held accountable, because he was supposed to give it to the Aniyim, and you're saying that he should have given it to the Aniyim, and he was chayiv because the Ganovim took it, but he was given over for Shmira purposes and not to deposit it with the Aniyim. So how can you tell us he's chayiv? It seems to go against what we just said in the Braisa. So Amalei, Rav Yosef says to Abaye, no, it doesn't. Because Aniye de Pumbedisa, these poor people in Pumbedisa, make its kitzluhu. Rashi explains that they would get a certain stipend, mamon kach v'kach l'shabbos, l'kol echad. So each of them was already considered an owner of this money. It was a known stipend that they would be receiving. And therefore, havalei mamon sheyesh lo tovim. It therefore is considered money that the owners, so to say, have a right to be toveya it from this person. The karina bay lishmar. And therefore, in this situation, it was theirs, so to say, and when this person who was holding on to the money wasn't careful with it, and also ganve in gavua, so therefore, in fact, Rav Yosef was chayiv him, because it was as if it was already in the possession of the poor people, and therefore, they could be toveya him, and therefore, in this situation, Rav Yosef said he would be chayiv, and it's not a contradiction to what we had learned in the previous braisa. With this, we conclude the beautiful eighth perek, Hadron Alecha Chovel, Hadron Alecha Chovel, Hadron Alecha Chovel, and we turn to Tzadi Gimel on the days, and we begin the ninth perek, Perek HaGozel Eitzim. The Mishnah begins, HaGozel Eitzim, V'Ason Kelim, if a person, Rachmon Litzan, is a Ganav. Again, we're not giving a hetif for anybody to be a Ganav. We constantly repeat this, it's always worth repeating. All of these things are wrong. We have an entire Masechta called Tabura, this is based upon something that is also to do. So we have lots of Baba Kama that deals with what happens if people did something wrong. Sota is when a woman did something incorrectly or suspected of doing something incorrectly. We have many situations where we deal with, after the fact, what is the halacha, not suggesting that any of these things are allowed. So again, you're absolutely forbidden to steal. But now, what is the halacha if somebody steals? Are they considered the owner of the item or not? Because there are monetary, financial implications and consequences that we need to know so society can go on. So, Hagozel Eitzin, if somebody stole wood and made a shinui into it, the Gemara will discuss what type of a shinui, what type of wood, and what type of a shinui we made. So we'll leave that unanswered or not fully explained right now. But if somebody stole wood, va'ason kalim, and he made it into a utensil. So he made a shinui in this. So therefore, we'll see, the halacha is that he only is mishalim kishas exil. He pays for the wood, what it was worth at the time that he stole it, not at the time that he makes it into a utensil, it's worth more. Likewise, if he stole tsemer, if he stole wool, and vason begodim, he made it into a sweater, he made it into clothing. In both of these situations, he made a shinui, he therefore acquires the item, and therefore he only pays for the item, mishalim kishas exela. He pays for it at what it was worth, the wood at the time that he stole it, or the wool at the time that he stole it. And that's because the din of the heshev es hagzela asher gazal is you have to return that which you stole as it was. Once you made a change in it, you have acquired it, and therefore you no longer have the obligation to return that extant item. But if it's changed, you're allowed to go and give him back the value of that item at the time that you stole it. That's what our Mishnah tells us. That's what we learned previously as well. Next case. Gazal para mi'uberis. If you stole a pregnant cow, the yolda, now in your possession, after you stole it, the cow gives birth. Or vice versa. You stole a rochel te'una. You stole a sheep that was totally laden with wool, and then ugezazit, and then you sheared it. So, how much do you pay? So, in both situations, mishalim dmei para homedes leleid, or dmei rachel homedes legazit. You have to pay for the value of the animal when it was pregnant, and the animal of the value of the sheep when it was fully laden with wool. So, the fact that it no longer is pregnant, it gave birth. The fact that you sheared the wool, so you can't just give back that animal. You have to pay for what you stole. So therefore, you stole a pregnant animal, you have to give him back a pregnant animal. Or you stole a sheep with full wool, you have to give him back the value of the sheep with the full wool. So therefore, that is what you are required to return. Gazal para, if you stole a para that wasn't pregnant, the nisabra, it became pregnant at slow while you were in its possession. And then it gave birth, the older. So in that situation, we'll see, you only have to pay, again, at the time of the gzela, which was a non-pregnant cow. Likewise, if you stole a sheep that was not laden with wool, then it at slow, and then it grew the wool while it was stolen with you, and you sheared it. So then, in both of these situations, mishalim kishas gzela, you only have to pay the value of the non-pregnant cow, the value of the non-laden with wool sheep. Mishalim kishas gzela. And all of these are under the same principles, that cloud, this is the rule, that a ganav pays what he stole at the time of the theft, at the time of the geneva or gezela. There's no difference here in this halacha. He pays what it was worth at that point in time. If things subsequently change while he had it in his possession, he doesn't pay for the positive or negative change in the animal. That's the Mishnah. Gemara starts and says, wait a second. Amre, it says in our Mishnah, Eitzim v'ason kelim in. You have to go and pay over here the value of the Eitzim, but not the value of the Kalim that you made them into. So Eitzim v'asom Kalim in, the Ganav acquired it, and therefore he has to go and only pay the value of the item, Kishas HaGzela. But the implication is he only, in that situation, when he made it into a full Kali, does he acquire it. If all he did was Sheepon, if all he did was sand it, if all he did was smooth it out, so he took a rough piece of wood and he made it into a nice, smooth piece of wood, then that is not considered something that is a shinoi. And lo, he would have to go give back that piece of wood as is. That is considered the heshev esagzelo asher gozal. So it's implicit from our Mishnah that only making it into utensil is considered a shinoi, but just smoothing out the rough wood and making it into a nice, smooth piece of wood is not considered a shinoi, and he doesn't acquire it. The ganav doesn't acquire it. Likewise, the Mishnah said, Tsemer v'ason begodim. If he took the wool and made it into a sweater, he made it into a garment. In that situation, that's considered a change, and he only has to return the value of the wool. But the implication is, if he had whitened it, libinon, if all he did was whiten the wool, that's not considered a shinui, lo, and he would have to go and return the wool. So that's the implication of a Mishnah, that just smoothing out the wood or whitening the wool is not considered a shinui. You have to make it into a utensil or a sweater. But that seems to go against the brisa that we're about to now suggest. Urminu, this contrast this with the following brisa and see that it doesn't seem to agree with the way we just understood the Mishnah. The brisa says, Beferish, Gozal Eitzim Vishipan. If you stole wood and all you did to it was smooth it out, or Avonim Vesisison, or if you took the rough stone and you chiseled it out. Rashi points out that the smoothing of the wood and the chiseling of the stone are just different types of activities that are halachically the same. Just you call it smoothing out wood and chiseling out stone. In both situations, you're smoothing out the stone and the wood. But we just use different terms for them. So the Brisa just adds about Avonim Vesisson, but it's no different than smoothing out the wood. Eitzim Vishipon. Or Tzemer V'Libnon. Or it tells us the wool and you whitened it. Or it gives us another example. Pishton, you have flax, vinikol, and you cleaned it. In all of these situations, the Brisa says that that is considered a change. Mishalim Kishasek Zela. So you would pay only for the wood. You wouldn't pay for the fact that you smoothed it because now you made a shinui in it. So you only have to pay for the wood. Similar for the stone. You only pay for the raw stone and not the smoothed out, chiseled stone. And the wool, you only pay for the wool and not, you don't have to return the whitened wool and the clean flax. So this goes against our Mishnah. Again, the question is the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Our Mishnah said that only if you made it into utensil, implying smoothing it out is not a change. And the Braisa says smoothing it out is a change. And our Mishnah had said with the wool that only if you made it into a garment, implying that whitening it is not a change. And the Braisa says that whitening it is a change. That's the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. And we'll give a number of answers. The first one is from Abaye. Abaye tells us, Tana Didan, the Tana of our Mishnah, he's telling us, Kitani Shinui Dirabonon Dihadra, and the Kol Shekain Shinui Diraisa. The Tana of our Mishnah is telling us that even if it's only a change that works on a Dirabonon level, for example, if you were to go and do something such as stealing a piece of smooth wood, and then you make it into a table or a chair. So you could undo that by taking apart the table or chair. Mid araisa, the heshiv esagzela asher gozal still applies. That smooth piece of wood is now in the form of a chair, but on a daraisa level, you could take apart the chair or the table and give it back the smooth piece of wood. So on a daraisa level, you'd have to give it back. But on a Durabonan level, if you took, the Mishnah is telling us when you took Eitzim, it's talking about smoothed Eitzim. And the Tana of our Mishnah is being mechadish to us that while on a Daraisa level, you would have to give it back, Midurabonan, because of Takonis Marish, in order to facilitate people to do tshuva, the rabbis came along and said, no, if we made you take apart the chair, the guys would say, listen, I worked real hard on that. It cost me a lot of time and effort. I guess what? I'm not going to give back the thing that I stole. So instead, we let you give back not the taken apart chair, but the value of the stolen smooth wood. So let's say the smooth wood is worth $10. When you put it into a chair, it's now worth $100 for the whole chair. If you have to take apart the chair, you're losing money. So we allow the ganav, this is a din d'rabbanan, to return just the $10, which was the value of the wood, rather than take apart the whole chair. And that's what the Mishnah is teaching us according to Abaye. The case in the midst of Eitzim was talking about smooth Eitzim that you turned into a utensil. So the Mishnah is telling us that midirabanan, we don't make you give that back, and it's enough to go and pay for the value of the smooth wood at the time that you stole it. And certainly, if it was wood that you made into a chair, non-smooth wood, of course, you wouldn't have to go and give back the chair. You give back just the value of the non-smooth wood. And that's now what the Gemara tells us. Eitzim that you stole, V'yason Kalim is talking about the Eitzim Mishupin. Our Mishnah is talking about smooth wood that you stole. Umay Ninhu Nisar. These are like boards, smooth wood. Dishinoi the hard deliver Yusuhu. Because technically you could just take apart the chair and you'd have all the smooth wood there. The E boy Mashlu. If you wanted to, you could take it apart so you could fulfill the Heshiv Sakzela Shagazal on the Raisa level. And likewise, with the tzemer that we spoke about in the Mishnah of Yasor and Begodim, it was talking about the tzemer tovoy. It was talking about spun wool that was already not plain wool, but it had been spun wool. And therefore, to make that undone from a sweater, you can return it to the spun wool threads. The shinu dehadl b'riyasu. And on the raisa level, you would have to give it back. The heishiv esagizela asher gozal. As the Gemara tells us, the E boy sosale. If you wanted to, you could take apart the chair, you could take apart the sweater. Nevertheless, the Tana of Amisha says we don't make you do that because it's takonis morish to facilitate people from doing tshuva. And therefore, if by a drabanan change you don't have to give it back, the koshikin shino deraisa. And therefore, The Tana of our Mishnah is telling us this, that by a din derabanan, you don't even have to give it back, and certainly by a din deraisa, you don't have to give it back. You have to pay for the value, but you don't have to give back the item extant. The Tana Barah, whereas the Tana of the Brice, is just telling us Shina Deraisa Ktani. He's not teaching us the Shina Derabanan. Look, Tani, he's not telling us anything about the Shina Derabanan. But therefore, there's no stira between the Mishnah and the Brice, because the Brice is telling us over here, Gazal Eitzev V'Shipan, you made a change on a Deraisa level to it. So again, in that situation, you only pay Shas HaGzela. That is considered a significant change on a Deraisa level, and therefore, you don't have to give it back. You can't undo the smoothing it out and turn it back into rough wood. You can't undo the smoothing out of the rock and turn it back into unchiseled rock. You can't undo the wool of the flax and return them back to their original state. And that's why on a derais level, you don't have the Heshes HaGzela Shegazal, and that's why you only pay Kishas HaGzela. So the Braisa and the Mishnah aren't disagreeing. They both agree that on a deraisa, if there's a change, you don't have to give it back. And the Mishnah, the Tanavah Mishnah, is just adding. And by the way, even on a derabanan, the rabbis came along with Takanas Marish and said you don't have to give it back. You just pay for the value that you stole. Teretz number one from Abaye. Teretz number two, Ravashi. Ravashi Omar, Tana Didon, the author of our Mishnah, also agrees. Nami Shina Deraisa Ktani. No, he's only talking about Shina Deraisa. And when we said Eitzim Yason Kalim, he said he took wood and made it into a keli. He's talking about buchane. He's talking about a pestle. A pestle is something dehainu shipon, which is the same as the brisa talking about shipon. So there's no difference between the Mishnah and the brisa. They're both talking about the same case. And therefore, the Mishnah is talking about when you made it into a utensil, it's as if you went and smoothed it out. And therefore, just like the Mishnah says, you only pay Kishas HaGzela, so too the Braisa says, you only pay Kishas HaGzela, and therefore Ravashi says, there's no difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa, that making it into a keli, like a buchani, is the same as shipon. Similarly, Tzemer, Yason, Begodim, when we said in the Mishnah, that he took wool and he made it into Begodim, what type of Begodim is talking about? Namte, it's talking about felt. Dainu shinoi de lo hadar. This is a type of shinoi that can't be retracted. It can't be going back. And therefore, it's the same as the brisa, which said that you took the wool and you made it into this whitened wool, libnon. So it's also a change that can't go back. And therefore, there's no difference, Ravashi tells us, between the Mishnah and the brisa. That's teretz number two. Now the Gemara questions, really? The libun mihavi shinoi. We just broke down in the brisa that libun is considered a shinoi. Is that really true? Does whitening constitute a shinoi? Wait a second, Urminu, we have the following Mishnah, which seems to say otherwise. Now this Mishnah teaches us a din of reishis hagez. Reishis hagez is that the first shearings of your animal, you need to have a certain number of animals and a certain amount of shearings in order for them to be chayiv in reishis hagez, which is one of the matnos kahuna that you have to give to the kohen. But if you did each animal separately and you didn't have a sufficient shear, so then once you changed that wool from the shearing and turned it into something else, it can no longer combine with the other animals and you wouldn't be chayiv in reishis hagez. So the Mishnah tells us, this is a Mishnah that we have in Chulin, and the Mishnah says, lo hispik litno lo achitzavo. If the person who owns the wool, he owns the sheep, sheared the sheep, and before he had a chance to collect from several sheep together to make the shear of Reishis HaGez, he went and dyed it. Achitzavo. So then, you don't combine sheep number one with sheep number two with sheep number three, sheep number four, sheep number five, and in fact, there won't be a din of Reishis HaGez, you'll be potter. That's what the Mishnah says. He doesn't have to give it to the Kohen. But the Mishnah there said, if all he did was libno, he didn't go and dye it. All he did was whiten it, the lotzavo, but he didn't dye it, then he would be chayiv in Reishis HaGez. You would combine sheep 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 if all he did was libno. So what do you see from here? That libno is not considered a significant shinoi. But we just said that libno is considered a significant shinoi, a stira from the brisa that we just brought down to the Mishnah and Chulin. So how do we reconcile that? So Abaye says, no problem. Or Abaye Lokasha. Abaye says, this brisa regarding the Gneva that we talked about that says if you stole something and then you whitened it, that is considered a shinoi and you only pay Kishas HaGzela, that is the opinion Ha Rabbi Shimon. Whereas this Mishnah in Chulin, Ha Rabbanon. Like, therefore, no problem that they're not saying the same thing. It's two different opinions. Rabbi Shimon holds that Libun is considered a significant change, and the author of the Mishnah in Chulin says that Libun is not considered a significant change. And we see that this is true to Tanya, because we have a brayis and it says it's meferish. Gizazo, if a person went and sheared the wool of his animal, and then tivavo, and he went and then twisted it, or varago, or he wove it, so then that is considered a significant shinoi. Ein mitzarif, and wool from sheep number one is not going to be mitzarif with wool from sheep 2, 3, 4, and 5 in this situation. But the Braisa says beferish, if all he did was libno, so then we have this machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and another Tana, which will be the Chachamim, who are the author of the Mishnah and Chulin. So Rabbi Shimon Omer ain't it starif. Rabbi Shimon says no, even libno is considered a shinoi, and you don't combine the whitened wool from sheep one with sheep 2, 3, 4, and 5. Was the Chachamim Omrim? You do combine it. Chachamim Omrim mitzarif. Ah, so you clearly see that this is two different opinions. The Braisa with the Geneva that says Libno is considered a Shinoi, that goes like Rabbi Shimon. And the Mishnah Chulin goes like the Chachamim, which say that Libno is not considered a Shinoi. Ah, that's a very good Teretz. That's a Bais Teretz, Teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rava Amar. No, you could even say, Ha Baha Rabbi Shimon. The Braisa with the person stealing it, who is libein it, nevertheless, that's considered a shinoi, could even be accord with this Mishnah and Chulin, which could also be Rabbi Shimon. Aye, that Mishnah says that if libno, the loads of all chayev, so how can that both be Rabbi Shimon's opinion? So Rava says, lo kasha, that's not a problem. It depends. Ha de naftse naputse, ha de sarke sruke. It all depends what he did to it with the whitening. So the Mishnah Chulin says whitening alone isn't considered a shinoi if all he did was whiten it by taking it by hand, the naftse nafutse. Rashi explains that naftse means biyad. The lo have a shinoi kuli hai. If you're whitening it by picking out the dirt with your hands, that's not considered enough of a shinoi. So the Mishnah Chulin is telling us that all he did was naftse with his hand. So he whitened it, but not significantly whitening it. Whereas the Braisa, which says that libun is a significant shinoi, hodisarki suke, Rashi says, b'mesarek. He took a comb and he really removed all the dirt from it. So that's considered a significant shinoi. So there's two types of libun. There's libun in the Braisa, which was a real libun, and therefore that considers a change, and therefore the Braisa says, m'shalin kishasak zela, because you were konet with the shinoi. Whereas the Mishnah Chulin says, no, that wasn't considered a significant change, by just with your hand picking out some of the dirt. Oh, that's Rava's Teretz to explain the seeming stira between the Braisa and the Mishnah Chulin. That's Teretz number two. Teretz number three, Rabbi Chiya bar Avin Omar, he says, no, the Mishnah in Chulin, which says that whitening it, libno velo tzvo, is not considered a shinoi, so that's ha de chavre chavure. That's all you did was whiten it, you washed it. You didn't go and really make it white. What you did was you whitened it somewhat. Similar teretz to what Rava gave. Ha, the kabre, kabrue, but the braisa is when you dyed it, you bleached it white. Oh, that's considered a significant shinoi. So again, Rav Chiya bar Avin is like Rava in saying that there's two different types of libun. If you do a bleaching type of a libun, so Rashi says, the kabure kavre, that means that you use sulfur, the gofris, lislabe yofe, you really bleached it, you really made it white. You used gofris, sulfur, and that made it so white, so that's considered a shinoi, that's the braisa. But the Mishnah Chulin said, all you did was you washed it, so it got, wasn't so dirty, but it's not really white, that's not considered a shinoi. That's Teretz number three. The Gemara has a problem now, however. The Gemara says, we're going to see in a second, Hashta Yesh Lomar, we're going to show you in a second, that according to Rabbi Shimon, Tseva L'Rabbi Shimon, Lo Havi Shinoi, that even dying according to Rabbi Shimon is not a Shinoi. So how can you tell us that Libun Havi Shinoi, that Rabbi Shimon holds that Libun is a Shinoi? If dying, coloring it is not a Shinoi, so then whitening it certainly shouldn't be a Shinoi. But we just said that Rabbi Shimon holds that whitening it can be a shinoi, so there seems to be a problem. Now, where do we see that Rabbi Shimon holds that dyeing it is not a shinoi? The Tanya, because we're in another braisa. The braisa tells us also about reishis hagez. Gozas rishon, if you sheared the first animal, gozas rishon rishon, each one you sheared it utzvo and you dyed it, or rishon rishon utzvo, you sheared each one and then you spun the wool, rishon rishon v'arago, or you sheared each one and then you wove them, so then ein mitzarev. That is not considered a tziruv. Each one is considered a separate action, so to say. It no longer is called wool, and you're not combining them, you're not mitzarev them to make reishis hagez. So the Tanakhama says that dyeing it, or spinning it, or weaving it, that takes it out of the status of being in the din of reishis against because it's no longer the wool, and you didn't have enough of a shear to give it to the kohen. But along comes Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in the name Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, in the name of our Rabbi Shimon, and he says, if you dyed it, tzivo mitzarev, the dyeing it doesn't constitute a significant enough change. And therefore, if you dyed wool from sheep number one, dyed wool from sheep number two, dyed wool from sheep number three, they can be combined for reishis hageds. So therefore, if dyeing the wool doesn't constitute a shinoi, so certainly libun won't constitute a shinoi, and that's the kasha on Rabbi Shimon. So how do we answer that? So Abai says, no problem, I'm Rabbi Lukasha. There are two different opinions of Rabbi Shimon. We just wrote this down in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, but there's another opinion. So Amar Abaye Elokasha, Ha Rabbanon Alibi the Rabbi Shimon, and Ha Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Alibi the Rabbi Shimon. There are two opinions as to what Rabbi Shimon said. So one opinion would hold that Rabbi Shimon says that whitening it is considered a shinoi, and certainly dyeing it is considered a shinoi. And the other opinion says, no, that dyeing and whitening are not considered a shinoi. That's Teretz number one, how to reconcile this problem. Alternatively, we have Teretz number two. Rav Amar, no. Liolam lo pligi Rabbanon Alibi the Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. No. Everybody says that Rabbi Shimon Yehuda's opinion of Rabbi Shimon is all correct. There is no second opinion. So then, how come dyeing and whitening seem to be different? So the Gemara says, v'shayne tzeva, dyeing it, coloring it, is different. Hol yochel aviroi ditzfon. You know what? When you dye something, you can remove the dye. You know what? You use sifon. Sifon is like a detergent that removes the dye. So it's a decolorizing agent. This sophon, Rashi says, is a foreign language word that means shvin. And if you look in the Lazi in Rashi, this is pirish boris, some type of a strong detergent or soap. So you can remove the dye, so therefore it's not considered a permanent shinoi. And therefore, in the Braisa, where Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Shimon, so he says, tzivo is mitzarev, because it's not a permanent change. And therefore you can combine the ferocious, I guess. So that type of dyeing, which can be removed with sifon, with detergent, is not considered a shinoi that's irreversible. However, in the Mishnah that we brought down in Chulin, so there, the Chiketani Hasam, lo hispik litno atshizvo potter, there we said that if he dyed it, then they don't combine, you're dealing there with a different type of dye, a dye that's not able to be removed with the tzofon. Vokimna kidivri akol. That goes like everybody, even Rabbi Shimon, because you're dealing with bekali elon, a certain type of dye. This is kali elon, is often confused with tcheles. It was similar to tcheles. So the kali elon is a certain type of indigo dye, the loavar, which can't be removed with tzofon. So that, in the Mishnah Chulin, constitutes a significant change. And therefore, you can't combine the wool from sheep 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 5 to make the shear for reishis hages, as opposed to a regular type of dyeing, it can be removed with sofon, and therefore it's not considered a permanent change, and that's why our Bryce over here says you can combine them. Rabbi Shimon says you can combine them. This is a good break point to stop the shear for today. We're going to have the statement of Abai, which we'll pick up tomorrow, that says that this statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon is not a das yochid. There are other opinions, other Tanaic opinions that are like this, and Yitz Hashem will pick up with Omer Abai tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shear.